welcome to Base Camp for Men. I'm your host, Tony Rizak. This is a show that gives you insights and resources in how to live a more courageous life. We look to assist you on your hero's journey in any way that we can. Truth is our compass, humanity, our tribe. Welcome and let's get started. Hello, Base Campers. I hope you're all doing well. Aging gracefully in vibrant health is something that I have highly valued my whole life, really. And I have watched as the so-called authorities, quote unquote, have put out dubious information about damn near everything. Our diets, how we exercise, our supplementation, even our spiritual and emotional approach to our lives and our health. It seems the dominant narrative is one where we are always surrendering our sovereignty. The mainstream consensus mindset is just try and do the best you can, and if things go wrong or you don't feel good, go get on a pharmaceutical product. If that doesn't work or creates new problems or side effects, go back and get on another. I would imagine this simplified illustration is why so many Americans are on 5, 10, 15 or more medications. A person can lose track of what is what, not to mention lose faith in their own body's ability to find a healthy baseline. It's like we're not even giving our God-given bodies a chance to find vibrant health. Are you following me? I've always found that being healthy is a lifelong project, one of tinkering with all sorts of modalities, teachers, foods, and supplements to find what is optimal for me. And that is one of the important pieces. What works well for someone else may not work well for you. You have to try things out and notice how you feel over and over and over again. Today's interview is with my dear friend Roy Holman, and he is a man that I deeply respect and admire, and he takes a similar approach as a sort of health scientist. We kick the tires on all sorts of things, both well-known and little-known. Our hope is that you can hear your own calling to deeply connect with God and yourself so that you can hear the whispers that uniquely speak to you. Enjoy the interview. Today's episode is brought to you by Stand Up Now Apparel. Stand Up Now has amazing designs centered on God, family, freedom, and patriotism. They use only the softest cotton in their designs and have gear for the whole family. There's something for everyone, Base Campers. I know you're going to love their products. Go support them at www.standupnowapparel.com and use the code BASECAMP to receive a 10% discount and free shipping. And now, on to our interview. My guest today is Roy Holman. Roy is a meditation and yoga teacher, a lover of nature, and the creator and host of the podcast, The Soulful Warrior. Here is my interview with Roy Holman. Okay, I am here with my friend, Roy Holman, writer and health expert, Roy Holman. Roy, welcome back to Base Camp for Men. It's good to have you on again.
Hi, Tony. I don't consider myself an expert on anything, but thank you.
Well, you certainly are. You know, I thought you and I, we had lunch the other day, and I said, I really want to do a show on aging gracefully, because to be honest, you know, I know people in good health, but I think that you and I have about two or three other people that I hold in very high esteem as having aged grace, very is aging gracefully. It's you, it's Mary Abrams in New York, Gary David in California. There might be one or two others that I'm missing. But for me, when I think of who's really aging and doing it in a way that I'm like, I want to do it like them, you're on the short list. So that was the spark to kind of have you on. And so we're going to just talk about all kinds of things, health and longevity and just aging gracefully. But just to begin with, I guess, just give people maybe a little bit of a background. You've been on a few different times, but just give people a little brief background and how long you've been in the health area in terms of study for yourself. Like, has that been a lifelong thing, or did you have something happen that had you really turn your focus on health?
Well, to give, before I say anything about myself, can I just say a little comment on an overview? I always think it's important to look at why do we want to talk about anti-aging, because sometimes people think of anti-aging from a fearful perspective. It's like, I don't want to die and I want to live forever. And, you know, it can be very identified with the body. So it's good to back it up. Remember what Martin Luther King Jr. said about, you know, the quantity of years is great, important, but he says the quality is most important. Now, of course, we want to live a long, healthy life, and I think that's what we're talking about. But again, what did Jesus say about don't identify with or focus on what rust and moths consume, which would hurt the body, not the stuff, you know? So I think it's important just to kind of take a breath and say, okay, we want to remember that we didn't create this body. It's kind of a gift that's loaned to us. So we want to take care of it, and we want to do what we're here to do, the temple of spirit, however you want to say that. So I just want to mention that to put a little perspective there. And I can also add that some people don't want to age, and they might not even know that, but some people are in such pain and suffering that they really, I talked to a friend the other day, actually, I said, would you want to live to 120? And she said, no way. I don't live much longer. It's too painful. So, but as we age more gracefully, I think we want to be here longer because we're feeling better. Does that make sense?
That does make 100% sense. Yeah, I appreciate you framing it that way.
So just to mention that. Now, as far as myself, I guess my motivator started young because my family was a mess in such turmoil and a lot of emotional pain and then physical pain. My dad died young. And then later on, my two sisters and one brother out of four have died of cancer. So I watched all this going on, and it just, you know, I wasn't very conscious, but I intuitively knew that there's a better way to do this. You know, I grew up on the, what do they call it? The SAD, standard American diet. And it was not doing me good. I had chronic diarrhea and other problems. So I slowly, very slowly, I'm not a quick learner, started experimenting and, you know, kind of like Gandhi, I guess. He started experimenting with foods and started seeing, wait a minute, I don't feel good with this, with that. I even went overboard with an all raw food diet, excess fasting, ended up with an eating disorder, had to throw that out and just start trusting myself and my body, and then slowly starting to get to a point where I'm pretty darn healthy now.
Well, I like that you, I love the way you frame that. And I also like that you have, that you claimed, you know, that you've tried a whole bunch of things. I think that's one of the common denominators that I find with really healthy people is they're not afraid to experiment with things, you know, because there's a lot of things that are, that exist outside of mainstream medicine that are incredibly helpful for health. And, but it's not cookie cutter. It's not like acupuncture works great for everybody, or, you know, spirulina is the bomb for, like, you have to play around with different diets, different things, different activities to find what your body likes, what your spirit feels is vital, you know? And I think for me, and I was curious to get your thoughts on this. I was an athlete. I still consider myself an athlete, even at my age. And athletes really prize feeling good in your body. That's one of the common denominators. It doesn't matter which sport or activity you love to do. You want to do it and feel really great, have a lot of energy, be injury free. Like, athletes really prize being healthy and vital. And I think I've just, from the time I was a little kid, that was really kind of a centerpiece of how I gauge things. And then as I got older, I was kind of like, I don't know if this diet's so good, or I don't know if this is that great for me. It's not making me feel very good. Does that resonate with you? Did you find that you sort of used your, how you were feeling in your body as a steady compass throughout your life?
Oh gosh, I was such a mess, man. I had such swings and physical stuff that it was hard to tune in and trust myself or my body for so long. And I don't know. Maybe it's, I don't even want to take too much credit for it. I think there seems to be grace in there too, you know, because I start my morning every day with prayer. It's like, you know, help me be the best I can be and do what I'm here to do. And I know I've been guided to, I mean, I feel like my life got saved a few times, and I got sent really these kind of wild experiences where I suddenly found, actually it just happened recently. I ran into this naturopath in a campground who guided me to this new thing I'm going to be trying pretty soon. So I think there's a lot of, you know, it's kind of like in the new age where we can take credit for things like I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. But sometimes I think I've just been guided to the right people that help me pick the right, you know, supplements and right naturopath and things like that.
Yeah, that's great. I love that, you know, that there's divine intervention, divine messages for what's right for you. Would you say that's more of a, you know, kind of an overarching kind of spiritual, emotional component of your health, that's kind of the top note, more than saying, you know, the physical thing, finding the right supplements or the right activity. That's more downstream. And really, it's more having that kind of gratitude to God and prayer and humility, knowing that God's going to direct you towards the healthiest choices. Would that be a principle of yours?
Wow, that's a great question. As you say that, I'm thinking, yeah, it's like both are so important, but it's almost like when I'm getting this feeling as you talk, it's almost like if I put out an intention like, hey, God, use me. I want to use what I'm here. I'm going to do what I'm supposed to be doing here. It's almost like there's an investment. It's like, well, you know, God says, well, this guy is really willing, so I'm going to kind of help him get healthy. He's asking to be healthy. He's asking to do what he's here to do. So I don't know, maybe that is the first step, to put out that intention. And we can talk about that more if we talk about how to jumpstart your own, you know, healing journey. But I always like to start it with that intention, you know, starting to get some prayer, even if I have no roadmap, you know.
I love it. I love it. You know, there was a quote. I have to credit it. This, nobody's going to know who this guy is. So he was a famous mime his name was Samuel Avatar. Or Avital, and I think he was French, but I remember seeing, I had a little book that I, of his, I don't know why I was so fascinated with mimes at one point. There was like a year that I was like, you know, looking at Marcel Marceau and trying to figure all that out. I was so esoteric, but he had written, quote, youth is not an age, it's fluidity of movement, unquote. And I remember reading that and just feeling like I was hit with a sort of like a bell went off, right? And then I would go on to study like Aikido and Qigong, you know, in my own way. I'm not a Qigong or Aikido master, but I really took it as what a brilliant statement. And it had so many different layers. And when I look at healthy people, and I'm being very general here, but when I look at healthy people, and in, for sure, my perception of you and the other two people I mentioned, Mary Abrams and Gary David, they're very fluid humans, meaning their body looks fluid, their body moves in a fluid fashion, and also there's a fluidity of spirit, a fluidity of mind, where none of you that I can see, you don't get super hung up and rigid in your positions. So there's a fluidity of knowing, kind of like a right sizing of the ego as well, where you're like, well, I used to be really sure about this, but the older I get, I kind of have to be looser about it. And we are certainly seeing that in the political realm on that layer. But yeah, I guess I just wanted you to talk. I've started up doing Qigong again. I haven't done Qigong in, you know, 20 years, but God is kind of telling me, look, we need you to be a little more fluid. If you do Qigong, that's going to help not only your body, it's going to help emotional things move through, and it's going to help loosen some of the ways that maybe you thought you knew what was going on. And right now you need to be fluid in navigating everything. Does that make sense? I know I've given you a whole bunch of things there, but I guess I just wanted you to maybe give you a chance to comment on fluidity in general and fluidity of thought, emotion, that sort of thing.
Boy, that's really good. I think that's so true and so helpful. You know, I mean, look at some of the things we're learning about diet right now and some foods we thought were great for us or not, and vice versa. So I think that's, I've seen, you know, I've been in the yoga world, the new age world, the Christian world. I've been in a lot of worlds, and I've seen, unfortunately, a rigidity in many of them.
Yeah.
And I've tended to be that way because I think pain motivates us to want to find the answer. But sometimes it's a little bit more tricky and a little bit of nuance, and we have to go back and forth. So I think that's a great thing to mention and keep in mind. And on the physical level, as you say that, I'm thinking of, you know, I'm picturing a beautiful animal, the way they move. And I'm a Vata in my constitution, Ayurvedics, and I tend to move too quick. So I've had to kind of, one teacher told me that people that hurry they're, what do you say, strong people don't hurry. And then just this morning I read somebody saying that hurrying binds the heart to this world because we're usually in our head and we're trying to make things happen. So I've been drawn to more slower kind of flow, slow flow yoga. And I tend to incorporate kind of like what you're saying, kind of a, I call it yoga chi, a little tai chi. And actually I've been drawn to qigong of late. I was thinking maybe I'm going to try some qigong because there's something to that fluidity.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Well, and then I've seen your HIIT workouts that you do. Those are very fluid, you know, where you're doing these, you're like really getting the lymph system pumping and sprinting, which, you know, when we were at that men's retreat, you were doing your workout and Jimmy's like, are you seeing him run? I'm like, no, I know. I go, that's leaning into fluidity. That's, you know, I think there's a mistake that people that they get to be a certain age and they think, well, I don't, you know, running, stretching and running, like maybe doing sprints back and forth. That's something for young people. I'm too old for that, but I think they short themselves. I think the body really does love running at no matter what age, if you're healthy enough. I know when I run, my body's just like, oh, thank you for that. So some people probably can't do sprints because of their physical condition, but I think there's a lot of people that just don't do it, period, because they think, nah, that's really not for a 50 or 60 or 70 year old. But I was watching you run and I'm like, oh yeah, that looks good. So
I agree, though. I enjoy it. It just feels so good. But, you know, it's like anything. At first, it might feel terrible, but we don't know. As we get healthier, it's like, wow, I actually can run. And then it starts to be more and more fun, you know?
Yeah, I think there's something about keeping adaptable too at all ages. So if you never sprint, if you never have that included in any of your workouts, you really can't, you know, you just like, if you started to sprint out of the blue after years, you'd be out of gas in 10 seconds. And it's like, yeah. And if you include it regularly, then it's like, you can sprint, you can run 100 yards, and no matter your age, it's, I think the body really appreciates that kind of adaptability of saying, hey, you're kind of keeping me tuned up for no matter what, you know, I think that's great. I wanted to ask you though, I have a feeling from looking around Seattle and going to the grocery store and doing all the things, I see a lot of people that are not healthy. And I don't need to get into too many details of what that looks like. We all know what a variety of unhealthy could look like. But what would you say to a person who's maybe, they feel like, oh, it's great what these guys are talking about, but I'm nowhere near, like, I have a desire to be healthy. Like, let's just sketch an example. Let's say this guy is not put health as a big priority and he's say 40 or 45 years old, and maybe he's got some young children. And so he's motivated, you know, like maybe he's not getting good. Maybe the doctor is saying, hey, you know, your blood work's not good. You know, you got to get it together, but they're not really giving him that much detailed. What would you counsel to somebody who maybe is feeling a little, how do I say it? You know, like a little resigned, a little like, I don't know where to start.
Sure.
You know, like, how do you go from what these guys, how do I go from here to what these guys are talking about? They're already thin and healthy and they've been doing it for decades, but I'm at stage one. I've never done anything. What would be maybe like a starting point, not knowing the guy's medical history, not just maybe a friend who's like, where do I start?
Well, I have compassion for people. You know, I see people really overweight and I've never been overweight. I can't even understand how challenging that must be, but yeah. I have compassion. But I think good news. Wherever we are, God is good. And mm-hmm. and if we to me, it starts with intention. Say we have no roadmap, we have no clue, they're whatever, way overweight or underweight or whatever it might be. How do we do that? And once we start with that blank slate and a willingness and a belief And that belief might have to take some time, that trust, but taking a little step, you know, just meditating, praying. And what I found is I get guided to something, one thing, and mm-hmm. that one thing helps a little bit. And maybe it even gets worse before it gets better. You know, we discover we're out of whack here too. So I think once we get one step, we try another step and we go maybe a couple steps forward, one back. But what happens is when we first start exercising or something, it's hell. It doesn't feel good at all. But
I know.
It starts to feel a little bit better, a little bit better. And then we have more willingness to get out there. And I'm really big on playing too. I don't like to... Mm-hmm. just exercise or work out. I like to, like, I love pickleball and hiking. And we talked about high intensity interval training, which is actually really fun. Yoga is really fun.
Yep.
So I think once we start getting a little bit of a headway, it starts to feel a little better again. And then it's easier to jump on the yoga mat or jump on your rebounder or walk around the block or whatever we're doing. It just gets better and better, I think.
Well, and to your point, I don't think it takes that long to start feeling good about it. Like, sure, that first couple weeks, 2 to 3 weeks, you might be like, oh my God, you know, this is brutal. I'm just not used to this or whatever. But I think certainly within a month of exercising most days, let's say, and just kind of starting to play with your diet and, you know, maybe, you know, there's a lot of information to start feeling better, both from a dietary perspective, a supplement perspective, but just getting exercising and not doing it twice a week, but really saying, look, this is really important to me. I mean, I was fortunate. I had a doctor tell me, and I was in not bad shape. You know, I had a naturopathic doctor. He goes, how often do you exercise? Like, like maybe 3 times a week. He goes, I want you to go 6 days a week. And I go, really? He goes, yeah. He goes, wait. He goes, it makes a big difference. Try to do it every day. 6 days is fine, but that's going to be the healthiest choice. And I was really grateful to hear that. The other thing that I would tell people who are in this situation is I think a naturopathic doctor to me is so important in turning a corner or starting something new. And I wanted to get your perspective because both of my parents, my dad is now seeing a naturopathic doctor. And he said, he's getting me off of all these pharmaceuticals that I've been on, right? He's narrowing that down to hardly anything and has got me on all these new supplements. My mom is moving to Hawaii and she says, the first thing I'm doing is I'm going to this naturopathic doctor that my friend recommends and they're going to start to minimize my medications and get me on some healthy stuff. So both of my parents have acknowledged naturopathic doctor is minimizing my dependency on pharmaceuticals, some of which probably they're not even quite sure when that got prescribed and for what, but it was probably for side effects for something from a decade ago or more. Do you know what I mean?
That's so important. I'm glad you mentioned that. But I want to double click on one thing before that. When you said about the 6 days a week exercise, again, I already said this, but man, maybe some people are hurting right now. This sounds like a bunch of hogwash, but it's so true. I mean, I love getting out there and doing my morning workout. But again, it's not a workout. It does get to be fun. So it's really important to reframe it. It's like, this is not something I have to do. I get to go out there, get my bare feet in the grass and pick something I really enjoy that's really helping me. So I just want to reiterate that.
Yeah.
Now, the naturopath, maybe to take both sides of it here, I'm kind of a big person in believing that we got to be our own doctor and start paying attention and taking care of ourselves. But man, we also need help. I found that I'm always amazed when I talk to people that are struggling, and I'd say 80, 90% of the time, they don't have a naturopath. They have an MD. They trust their MD. I'm like, wow. I mean, we really need support from people that are in the holistic field that have expertise. And I can't tell you how much they've helped me. And I know a little bit already from my experience in living and exercising and experimenting. But man, I can tell you stories about a naturopath. Actually, I have an appointment with one in about a half hour on Zoom. And she is incredible. She does all this. It's like an advanced muscle testing that clues me in on every supplement I'm taking. Do I need to keep taking it or take a break? So it's very important.
That's great. You know, and I think what we both have touched on too is like, that I love that you said, you know, you got to be your own doctor. You got to be your own champion for your health, right? I think that's so important. And don't be afraid to tinker with things. So you might meet with a naturopath and you might come away with five or six new supplements. You might take them, you might rotate them around, you might find some that you end up taking the rest of your life. You might find something where you're like, I love this. I feel like this, I can sense the difference. It's going to be subtle, but I think that the more that you work with your health, the more you're tuned into the subtle clues and the whispers that your body's telling you that I really like that. Or there might be one that you take, the doctor recommends, the naturopath, where you're like, I don't know if that's really helping. I don't know if that's, worth the investment, And so I think, and then some things are really important for certain stages for yourself in terms of your health. Like, I used to, be a lot of vegetarian and plant-based. And probably if I saw my supplements when I was in my 20s, there might be some that I still take that I've taken on and off over the decades. But there's probably some that I'm like, oh, I don't even, I don't touch that anymore. I don't know. I was just trying stuff out, right? And so I think there's this spirit of experimentation. You're not going to really screw it up with these natural remedies, and try some things and see what really feels like it's building health and building, vitality inside of your system. I think is the way to go. But I wanted to give you a chance to just any last thoughts on anything that we just said and anything else before we sign off today.
Okay, a couple things I think are real important. Detox. Right now, it's a very toxic world, and we got to watch what we put in so we're not more toxic. What we eat and consume, but it's really important, I find, to do stuff to detox. And I've got some professionals helping me with that. But there's certain things you can do, and I've probably time to get into that. Just sweating is helpful, and more water, charcoal, and stuff like that. But it's really important to move the toxins out. And then also, I want to mention teeth care. I've found from my own experience or what I've seen with people that it's real important to get A, learn again, be your own doctor and learn how to, do your coconut pull or whatever, coconut oil pull, or get some real non-fluoride type of toothpaste and stuff like that. But getting a holistic biological dentist, they're sometimes called, is crucial. I had to get some cavitation surgery from stuff from my wisdom teeth, packed in there, bacteria and stuff from 60 years ago. And I felt completely different. So some of these problems, we don't have much time to get into it with root canals and stuff, is they leak toxins down into the body that doesn't just stay in one spot and contributes to cancers and everything else. So I think it's real important to take care of our teeth and find some help with that.
Oh, well, and the other thing I wanted you to touch on just a little bit is you're a big believer in like Faraday sleeves and stuff like that to keep the 5G radiation minimum in the body. Do you want to talk a little bit about that? And then you also rep a little bit for a company that sells some great products. I forgot to mention that in the intro.
Oh yeah, there's a, you know, there's it's crucial. It's so ubiquitous, all this Wi-Fi and EMF radiation that we're exposed to now in our homes, when we're holding our phone, all the 5G, you name it, at the towers. So it's real important to consider a couple things. Some people like to shield, you actually put a, like we have a Faraday $2,000 little, what do you call it, canvas or whatever you want to call that, over our bed. And then we turn off the router at night, we hardwire the house. There's also Harmonizing Devices. That's the company I work for as a rep, this EMF Solutions. They're the best I've found so far for you put a little device on your phone or whatever, on your in your car even, and it harmonizes the energy. So there's different schools of thought. I do both. Let's get it from three different angles. We hardwire, limit the use, shield, but also harmonize the energy with these things.
That's great. Well, and I thought I saw RFK Jr. I thought I saw something come across my feed where he said basically 5G radiation causes cancer. I mean, just like states it, and you're like, oh, it's not. I mean, we always kind of thought, I don't think this kind of radiation is real good for people, but he's kind of just stating it, And so I think it's giving people pause and going, wait a minute, I'm carrying this thing around in my front pocket, 24/7. Like maybe I got to start thinking about shielding from all of this radiation in as best I can. I think we're being bombarded all the time, but certainly carrying our phone right close to us all the time without a sleeve. I've started really sleeving mine up because I'm like, I don't got a good feeling about this little device. So, yeah.
Well, I'm glad to hear he said that because, you know, there are several things, but three things that come to mind is as far as I mentioned detoxing, protecting ourselves from getting toxic is the Wi-Fi and EMF radiation. The vaccines, unfortunately, I think many of them are very, very toxic. And yeah. Also prescription drugs, I think, are causing people tremendous problems. So, you know, we can look at, like we've been talking about, they're looking at really getting some good studies to check on which vaccines might be having problematic. But man, if we keep getting as much radiation and actually increasing amounts as we are right now, we're going to be in big trouble. So it's really important to address that.
Yeah, that's a great point. You know, my hope is that this whole body of knowledge that's outside of mainstream medicine, this whole body of knowledge of naturopathic medicine, all these remedies, all the things that people really understand, will start to grow. That body of wisdom will keep increasing all over the planet, and we'll figure out ways to work with the technology that you've spoken of, right? There's workarounds, there's hacks. We're gonna have to keep sharing information. And my hope is that more and more of the tribe becomes healthy and becomes like the light bulb goes off, where they're like, okay, wait a minute. There's a lot in this field of study around optimal health that I maybe haven't paid attention to for whatever reason, but I'm sure going to pay attention now because I've got skin in the game. I want to feel better. I've got kids. I'm going to start really looking at all this stuff so we can have a healthy family and a healthy tribe, which is so important for all of us. But Roy, I just so appreciate your insight and your wisdom always as a friend, but also as a guest here. I just find our conversations help open something up in me where I can understand things on a new level with more nuance and more sophistication, and just understand, including, I think, things that, you know, how wisdom is, where it's maybe something that you know deep down, but maybe you forgot it for 20 years, right? And now you're like, wait a minute, why am I not doing, you know, Qigong or whatever the case may be.
That off. Yeah.
Yeah.
One more thing I just want to mention. Sure. Be careful, just for people, for your audience. A lot of naturopaths, unfortunately, I'm not, hopefully not sounding judgmental, but a lot of them have been kind of co-opted and they've gone more of an allopathic way. So just be very careful and find a good one that's very holistic focused.
Love it. Thank you, Roy. Roy, enjoy the rest of your afternoon. Thanks again for taking time with us today.
Thank you, Tony. Great to be with you.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that conversation as much as I did with our dear friend Roy Holman. And my hope and prayer is that you heard a thing or two today that resonated with you and has you reframe the coming months and years for you in terms of your health and vitality. God bless you all, base campers, and we'll see you around the fire next week. If you find value in our show and wish to show us some love, we are now making that very easy to do. You simply go to www.basecampformen.com and click on Donate Support Basecamp. You'll find an easy way to make either monthly donations for as little as $5 a month, or you can donate just once. We love the monthly donation and hope to build this up over the coming months, but any show of support is greatly appreciated, honestly. Thank you for your support and for helping to keep Basecamp as a resource on your hero's journey. That's our show for today. Thank you for listening. Men, good luck in all your endeavors and good luck on your hero's journey. This is Tony Rezac, and you're listening to Basecamp for Men.